Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 9. Now, this morning's message is going to be a little different in that if you're new to Whitesburg, you know that normally I preach what we might call expositionally, verse by verse, chapter by chapter through books of the Bible. And we've actually been studying the book of Acts, but during the month of August, we're taking a four-week break, and I'm sharing with you about the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Sir Leonard Wood once visited the King of France, and the King enjoyed Sir Leonard Wood's company so much that he invited him for dinner the next day. So Sir Leonard went to the palace, and the King actually came across Sir Leonard Wood in one of the halls and said, "Why, Sir Leonard, I didn't expect to see you. How is it that you're here?" And Sir Leonard Wood said, "Did not the Majesty invite me to dine with him this evening?" "Yes," replied the King, "but you didn't answer my invitation." And Sir Leonard Wood made the following statement: "A king's invitation never needs to be answered. It only needs to be obeyed." Do you realize that God has given you an invitation? And God's invitation is for you to live and abide and enjoy his presence. And do you know that God has not only given you the invitation, but he has also given you the means whereby you can cultivate what it means to live every single day in the presence and awareness of the living Christ? Spiritual disciplines are a means, not the end. In the last several weeks, I have shared with you and I have shown you biblically that spiritual disciplines are a means, not the end. The end is closeness to and conformity to Jesus Christ. I shared with you that worship is a spiritual discipline that is both personal and corporate. Today we're going to take a look at several Bible passages that reveal to us that fasting is a spiritual discipline. It is a means to humble ourselves before a living God. Now, whenever we think of fasting, I realize that there's a diet fad using fasting that is out there. That's not what we're going to be talking about. Because while you and I can fast from a lot of things, for example, this week, while I'm fasting from food for a certain period of time, I'm also choosing to fast. I actually deleted social media apps off my phone. Hallelujah, praise God, I'm free. Yeah, give God praise. That's a good thing, isn't it? So if you send me a message on Facebook or Twitter, I'm not getting it and I'm not responding. Not to be rude, I'm just not going to do that this week. But biblically, while there are many ways to fast, in its most basic and most biblical form, it really is the abstinence from food for a spiritual purpose. Do you realize that some have said that fasting is mentioned 77 times in the Bible? In his book, The Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster argues that the most important text in the Bible for the priority of fasting in the Christian life is Matthew 9, verses 14 through 15. Listen to this passage. Then the disciples of John came to him asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom, they cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." One author, responding to what Richard Foster said, said, "Now that last sentence is the sentence that Foster said shows that in Jesus' mind, when he is taken away, when he dies and ascends to the Father after the resurrection, there will be fasting. Therefore, the context of fasting in Jesus' mind is longing for the not yet of the kingdom. While he was here, they didn't fast because the bridegroom was present. But when the bridegroom was taken away to come a second time, there is this ache in the heart of God's people. Fasting, the author says, is a physical exclamation point at the end of these sentences. I need you. I want you. I long for you. You are my treasure. I want more of you. Oh, for the day when you would return, come, Lord Jesus." Why in the world have I asked you to prayerfully consider fasting and praying this week? Because I know that if you will seek the face of God in the biblically given means for doing so, that you will not only hear from God, but that God will use your prayers and your season of fasting to help you not only hear from him, but to obey him in whatever it is that he is calling you to do. And I want you to know that I believe with all of my heart, if we as a people will sincerely seek the face of God in prayer and in fasting, God will do things in us and through us that we would never see otherwise. The Bible tells us that God is opposed to the proud, but shows favor to the humble in 1 Peter 5:5. Fasting is a means of humbling ourselves before the Lord. In the Old Testament, fasting was often accompanied by other signs of humility, of brokenness, such as weeping, mourning, lamenting, wearing sackcloth, and sitting in ashes. Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade, made it his practice to fast and pray. He said there were three primary benefits from fasting. Fasting is a biblical way to truly humble yourself in the sight of God. David said in the Psalms, "I humble myself with fasting." The second benefit that Bill Bright said is, fasting enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and a transformed life. Third, he said another benefit from fasting is your confidence and faith in God will be strengthened. You will feel mentally, spiritually, and mentally and physically refreshed. True fasting is a means of fostering a humble approach to God in prayer. John Piper wrote this, "If we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world, our soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great." One of our pastors, Cody Skinner, you need to get to know Cody. He's an incredible young man. God has used Faith and Cody in incredible ways already in our church. They just have completed their first year with us. He left an 8-year career in the Air Force to follow God's calling. And I want you to hear a brief testimony from Faith and Cody about how God has used prayer and fasting in their life.
I'm Cody. I'm the Associate College and Young Adults Pastor here, and this is Faith, and we've been married for almost 7 years. Started facing some struggles early on in marriage as far as work and security with finances, and even if I would even have a job continuing on, and then even struggles starting a family we faced. And when we were about a year or two into being married, our church did a 21-day fast at our former church, and we participated in it. And it was really the first time we as a couple did that, and really to see the Lord in it. And with a lot of those areas that we were struggling in, the need for this discipline in our lives as a couple, as individuals, to just be closer to the Lord, to worship Him through it, and to just see Him move. He blesses and honors those who come to Him.
It definitely brought us closer together, but it made us very vulnerable with each other. We've known each other for a very long time, so that's kind of hard to do when you know each other like the back of your hand, but it did. It brought us way closer together in our walk, individually and together with God and in our marriage. I mean, this was in the early stages of our marriage that, you know, it really strengthened it and like laid a great foundation. You know, you hear fasting, a lot of times you think of the diet. You think of, I'm not going to eat, you know, ice cream every night or just something that you enjoy, or even just something that you really think you need. But it could be anything. Think of what is taking up your time, the most time of your day, or a lot of time of your day, that you could take that away and spend that time with God. And because you're going to grow through this with Him.
It's about just turning to the Lord and saying, I want more of you and less of me. I want to see you move and not what I want done in this life. And there's been times where we've asked the Lord for very specific things. And there's been times that we've seen Him move in that way. And there's been times where, he had other will, and that will was much better. Fasting is not something you do just by yourself. You obviously can do it as a couple. But we see God's people come together and fast regularly. And when we do this fast, this during this season as a church, I encourage everyone to fast amongst their community the way they did in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Even in books like Nehemiah, we see God's people come together and say, God, we want to see you move. And if you're considering doing that, we pray that you do it during this season with your church family. We'd love to walk with you in that and during that, but also just to see God move through the church and the Ignite program, because we think he wants to do something great and mighty. We just want to pursue Him in that.
So let me give you a definition. The word fasting means to be empty. It is a specific, intentional abstention from food for the purpose of humbling oneself and seeking God. It's not simply going without food. It is abstaining from food and or other items so that you may free yourself up to seek a spiritual goal in mind. The Bible teaches us over and over again that fasting was done for many reasons. It was done to prepare for ministry. Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness fasting and praying before he began his earthly ministry. Paul and Barnabas in the early church in Acts chapter 14 prayed and fasted to seek the face of God. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah mourned, fasted, and prayed when he learned Jerusalem walls had been broken down, leaving the Israelites vulnerable and disgraced. We turn in our Bibles to Esther chapter 4. Mordecai and the Jews fasted upon the hearing of the news of Haman's wicked plan for the extermination of the Jewish people. Ezra in chapter 8, he declared a corporate fast and prayed for a safe journey for the Israelites as they made the 900-mile trek to Jerusalem from Babylon. Then there was repentance after Jonah pronounced judgment against the city of Nineveh. The king covered himself with sackcloth and sat in the dust. He ordered the people to fast and pray. In Judges 20, verse 26, after losing 40,000 men in a battle in 2 days, the Israelites cried out to God and they fasted and they prayed. Luke chapter 2 tells the story of an 84-year-old prophetess named Anna. Verse 37 says, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna was devoted to God, and fasting was one expression of her love for him. When we fast and we purposefully say, I'm going to not eat for this period of time, whether it's a 40-day fast or a 21-day fast or a 7-day fast or a 3-day fast or a 1-day fast or maybe one meal a day for 7 days, whatever it is, it's not simply, I'm not going to have food. It is, I am going to set aside, I'm going to refrain from eating, or I'm not going to do these activities so that I can use the time that I would have normally spent on those things and seek the face of the living God. That's what fasting is for. When we think about the primary purpose of fasting, it must always be forever centered on God. It is God-initiated and God-ordained. Listen to this statement I wrote down. More than any other single discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. Fasting reveals the things that control us. So I want to give you 5 purposes for fasting. First of all, to seek God. Secondly, for self-examination. Third, for spiritual cleansing. Fourth, for spiritual renewal. And fifth, to seek God's wisdom and guidance. As we think about our Master Campus Plan offering on September the 10th, what we've said to you is, if you will just pray and seek the face of God, whatever the results are, we're going to rejoice because we believe that if God's people will simply seek the face of God and do what God tells them to do, we will be within the will of God for what we're called to do. Do you agree with that? Abraham Lincoln once wrote, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. When I think about the need for prayer and fasting, I'm reminded so much of the book of Joel. Joel's message grew out of a national calamity. And in Joel chapter 2, he says, the Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. Slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent, leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. In other words, Joel called for a corporate fast. There are private fasts, there are corporate fasts, there are national fasts, there are occasional fasts. There are all kinds of fasts that you read about in the Bible, but they all have a spiritual goal in mind. I can tell you that throughout my life and ministry, there have been times that I needed a very clear word from God, and I knew that if I didn't get away and shut everything else out, that I was not going to hear the voice of God. And I want to tell you, whatever it is in your life that you need to hear God about and on. If you will take a season of fasting and prayer, God will use the spiritual discipline of fasting to humble you before himself, but also to reveal to you whatever it is that God wants to say into your life. The purpose of fasting: to seek the Lord, to hear from the Lord. But what about the practice of fasting? You know, fasting is not limited just to the believers in the Bible. Many of the church's most important leaders and at important times in history have fasted and prayed. Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox. Knox fasted and prayed so much that Queen Mary said she feared the prayers of John Knox more than all of the armies of Scotland. John Wesley, the renowned English preacher, missionary, and founder of Methodism, fasted twice weekly from sunup until the late afternoon. Finney, the revivalist in the 1800s, fasted every week and would often go 3 days without eating when he felt his revival meetings were not introducing people to Jesus. In a more contemporary setting, David Wilkerson, from the book and the movie, The Cross and the Switchblade, who pastored many years in New York City. He's gone to be with the Lord now. I listened to David Wilkerson preach a message called The Cost of the Anointing. And David Wilkerson talked about that he came under conviction that his life was not under the anointing of God to preach his word like it ought to be. And so David Wilkerson set aside every Thursday to fast and pray that he may seek the face of God, that the anointing of God may be on his life. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 taught his disciples something very important. Jesus taught his disciples that insincere religious practices are never acceptable to God. And when we fast, we must do so with a sincere motive. Listen to Matthew chapter 6. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Notice Jesus said in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, not if you fast, but the spiritual discipline of fasting is not the goal. It is merely a means to an end. And fasting is the abstention from food and or other items so that you may seek the person of God and that you have a spiritual goal in mind. Let me give you three things about the practice of fasting. Let me remind you about the definition: to be empty. Intentional abstention from food for the purpose of humbling oneself and seeking God. You have a spiritual goal in mind. What is the degree? Some people do an absolute fast. That means they don't eat or drink anything for a period of time. My recommendation, with the heat index the way that it's going to be this week, you still need water. Amen? Some people do a liquid fast. Some people do a partial fast. Some people say, well, not only am I going to take every lunch day this week, and rather than going to eat or meeting someone for lunch or whatever it is, I'm going to set aside lunch, and I'm going to take my lunch time, and I'm going to simply get my Bible, I'm going to read the Word, and I'm going to pray and seek the face of God. Some people say to their family, you know what, this week we're cutting the television off. We're shutting down social media. If some parents wanted to get really extreme, they would say, you know what? We're not doing anything but school and schoolwork this week, but seek the face of God. The degree. I'm not here to tell you how much you should fast, how long you should fast, and which ways you should fast. I'm asking you to consider the spiritual discipline of fasting that you may seek God for a spiritual goal in mind. What's the duration? One day, 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 3 weeks, 40 days, one meal a day. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, we're asking you to pray and fast. Pray and fast for a specific need or sin that you're struggling with. Pray and fast for revival and awakening in our nation. Pray and fast for us to reach 1,000 people who are far from God. Pray and fast for us to equip and release 200 leaders from the next generation. Pray and fast for our master campus plan offering and simply say, God, I want to do whatever you ask me to do and trust him to show you. Fasting is often one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines in the life for us as Christians. And I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking about me. When we set aside everything else and say, God, I want to hear from you. The King has issued us an invitation. Jesus has said, I want you to be close to me. And the means for developing that intimacy in your life with me are the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Worship, prayer, Bible reading, fasting. Jesus said, when you fast. Now let me say this very quickly. Are there reasons not to fast? Absolutely. You can go on the notes today, and I actually give you a list of reasons some people shouldn't fast. Some people should not fast unless they consult with their medical doctor because they may have medicines or they may have medical conditions that may limit whether or not they should fast from food for any length of time. Please be careful. This is not something to take lightly. Amen? Do you realize that fasting and prayer are the only disciplines that fulfill the requirements of 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If we fast, if we pray, God will speak. Andrew Murray said this, fasting helps to express, to deepen, and to confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, to sacrifice ourselves to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. I've had several of you say, Pastor, I hope you had a good week with the New England pastors. We did. But I want to be a little bit transparent with you this morning. One of the reasons that Vicki and I enjoy ministering to them is not always for what we give, but it also has to do with what we get. The last night we sat across from three other couples at dinner. Well, two couples and a single. The single is a man whose wife just passed away from pancreatic cancer. The couple directly across from us are Brazilian, and they have started a Brazilian church in New England. He said to me, every year it's so hard to keep going. But God refreshes us and we don't quit. We sat next to a couple and we talked to them all week long that he pastors two churches. If you combine both churches together, both churches wouldn't have 80 people on a Sunday morning. They just had two cars break down. They have no idea how they're going to get them fixed. And they are working several jobs to eke out a living so they can stay there and share the gospel with those people. I am so reminded every time I spend any time with them how blessed I am. And it compels me to want to seek the face of God more than ever before. This week is about far more than September 10th. It's about us seeking the face of God, that God may do in us whatever God wants to do, because we want more than anything else to see, to hear, to know, and experience the presence of our God. Would you stand this morning? I don't know what God is saying to you this morning, but here's the invitation. Many of you, I'm going to invite you, if the Spirit of God is leading you, to come to this altar and cry out to God for our church. To pray that God would pour out His Spirit in a way unlike we could ever imagine, and we know that we could not do it on our own. For some here this morning, you would say, Daryl, I've never met with God that way. I need to talk with somebody. I want to pray with somebody. Rain in the balcony will pray with anyone that wants to pray with him as a pastor up there. Pastors will be here at the altar. Do you need Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Come, we'll talk with you about it. But, oh church, would that we would humble ourselves before a holy God and seek Him that He may move in our lives in powerful ways. Oh God, come in the wind, come in the fire, only come, Lord Jesus, come in power that He may manifest His glory among us. Father, I'm asking this morning that Your Spirit would move. Thank You for loving us. Help us to seek You, O God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.